children. Today we're going to read part of the Joseph story. And the question I'd like you to think about is, when did the brothers really know who Joseph was? You might remember that when Joseph was a boy, 17 years old, the Lord gave him two dreams. One in which he was binding sheaves in the field with his brothers, and his sheaf stood up, and all the brothers' sheaves all around bowed down to his sheaf. And another dream he had was when the sun and the moon and the 11 stars all bowed down to him. Did the brothers know who Joseph was then? No, because it says they hated him for his dreams. In fact, three times it says in that story that they hated Joseph. They certainly didn't know him. And then it says that Judah had the idea that they should kill him. And Reuben said, no, let's just throw him in a pit and leave him to die. And then it says that some Midianites came along and found him in the pit and pulled him out and sold him to some Ishmaelites who took him down to Egypt and sold him as a slave. Did the brothers know Joseph then? No, they thought he was dead. But in Egypt, eventually, the Lord made Joseph rise up to become the ruler of Egypt. And then it says that the brothers came down to Egypt to buy food. And they all bowed down to Joseph because he was the ruler of Egypt. Did they know who Joseph was then? No idea. And then it says that Joseph accused them of being spies. And they said to each other, this is because of the evil thing we did to our brother. We saw the anguish of his soul when he pleaded with us for mercy, and we wouldn't listen. And that's why this distress has come upon us. They knew it was their fault. And Joseph heard them say that. And Joseph threw them in prison for 3 days, and then he let them go home, all but his brother Simeon, so they could take food home to their families. And secretly, he put their silver, their money, back in their sacks so they could go home. But he told them that you can't come back and see me again unless you bring your brother Benjamin. So when all their food ran out and they had no choice, they brought Benjamin back. And this time, Joseph made them a great feast. Did they know who Joseph was? No idea. Still had no idea who he was. And then on the next day, again, he put their silver back in their sacks, but this time he also put his silver cup into Benjamin's sack. And then after they had left, he sent his servant after them to arrest them for stealing his silver cup. So they all had to come back to Joseph's house. And that's the part of the story we're going to read right now from Genesis chapter 44. And Judah and his brothers came into Joseph's house, and he was still there. And they fell before him to the earth. And Joseph said to them, what deed is this that you have done? Did you not know that such a man as I, divining divines? And Judah said, what shall we say to my Lord? What shall we speak, and how shall we be justified? God has found out the iniquity of thy servants. Behold, we are servants to my Lord, both we and he also in whose hand the cup was found. And he said, far be it from me to do this. The man in whose hand the cup was found, he shall be to me a servant, and you go up in peace to your father. And Judah came near to him and said, thy servant, my father, said to us, you know that my wife gave birth to two sons for me, and the one went out from me. And I said, being torn, he is torn apart, and I have not seen him since. And you are taking this one also from my face. And if harm befalls him, you will bring down my gray hairs in evil to the underworld. And now, when I come to thy servant, my father, and the boy is not with us, and his soul is bound up in the boy's soul. And it shall be when he sees that the boy is not with us, that he will die. And thy servants will make the gray hairs of thy servant, our father, go down in sorrow to the underworld. For thy servant became surety for the boy from being with my father, saying, if I do not bring him back to thee, I shall sin to my father all the days. And now I pray, let thy servant remain instead of the boy as a servant to my Lord, and let the boy go up with his brothers. For how shall I go up to my father and the boy not with me? Perhaps I shall see the evil that would come upon my father. We read also from the Heavenly Doctrine, first part of the explanation of the story when the brothers first thought of killing Joseph. And before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to cause him to die. This signifies that they wished to extinguish the divine spiritual or divine truth, which is from the Lord's divine human. The case herein is this: all the divine truth in the whole heaven proceeds from no other source than the Lord's divine human. That which is from the divine itself cannot flow in immediately with any angel because it is infinite, but only mediately through the Lord's divine human, as is also meant by these words of the Lord: no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has set him forth. For this reason also, the Lord, as to the divine human, is called the mediator. They who battle for faith alone and do not live a life of faith extinguish this truth in themselves. For they believe that the Lord's human is purely human, not unlike the human of another man. And hence many of them deny the divine of the Lord, however they may profess him with the lips. But those who live a life of faith, on bended knees and with humble hearts, adore the Lord as God the Savior, and they do the same in the Holy Supper. Hence it is plain that with them, the Lord's divine human is in their hearts. We read further, the Lord is said to be present according to the state of love toward the neighbor and of faith in which a man is. In love toward the neighbor, the Lord is present because he is in all good, but not so much in faith, so-called, without love. Faith without love and charity is a separated or disjoined thing. Wherever there is conjunction, there must be a conjoining medium, which is nothing else than love and charity, as must be evident to all from the fact that the Lord is merciful to everyone and loves everyone and wills to make everyone happy to eternity. He, therefore, who is not in such love that he is merciful to others and loves them and wills to make them happy, cannot be conjoined with the Lord, because he is unlike him and cannot and not at all in his image. To look to the Lord by faith, as they say, and at the same time to hate the neighbor, is not only to stand afar off, but is also to have the abyss of hell between themselves and the Lord, into which they would fall if they should approach nearer. For hatred to the neighbor is that infernal abyss which is between. The presence of the Lord is first possible with a man when he loves the neighbor. The Lord is in love, and so far as a man is in love, so far the Lord is present. Here end our lessons. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Amen.